What a wonderful blessing we have as the people of God is to be able to come to the study of God's Word. It's a remarkable thing to consider that the God of heaven and the God of earth took the time to record for humanity his thoughts and then to preserve them for every generation to give and to consider through careful study. One such means of our careful study is a time for us to give meditation to the truth of God's Word, to take small portions of Scripture and muse over them to the point of complete absorption and then also application. Tonight, as we come to our Scripture meditation, we want to give consideration to passage found in the book of Hebrews in the 6th chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, tonight I invite you to turn there with me. We're going to consider really the first verse. And tonight as we come to Hebrews 6 in verse 1, I want to drill down on a simple phrase that's found in that verse. And the phrase is simply this, let us go on unto perfection. I want us to consider what that means for all of us tonight. Let us go on to perfection. So the title of our sermon is simply this, let's go. So let go. And we're going to see what the meaning of that is as we look at this first verse in just a few moments. But again, let's read the verse and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're grateful tonight that we can come and muse upon the Word of God, to give thought and careful consideration to what your Word has to say and the truths that is given to us. Father, there is a challenge here for every one of us, and I pray that we would heed what the Word of God says tonight. So we thank you and praise you for our time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin to look at this verse of Scripture tonight, I trust that you and I will understand the importance of such a text in light of the current climate in the church. We minister today in a generation where many claim to desire the deeper things of God. Yet, those who say they desire those deeper things of God have also rejected the necessity of God's instruction while seeking to fill their experiences of worship with the innovations of man. We live in a world today that says we want deeper worship. We're concerned with worship, and yet they've taken out the instruction of God's Word and replaced it with the innovations of man. Paul told Timothy that there would come a day when men would no longer endure sound doctrine, when men would not be willing to heed any longer, therefore to put the pressure upon the pastor to no longer preach God's truth. Instead, they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, those that would intrigue them with stories to tickle the ears instead of instructing them in the truth. As you and I come to Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of this letter is dealing with this very concept. The difference here being that those who had once professed a belief in the truth of Jesus Christ were being lured away to the old familiar ways of man's traditions. And by the way, when we talk about the traditions of the church, we talk about the traditions of man, we are talking about the innovations of man, not the instruction that is found in God's Word, whether they be old or whether they be new. And here in Hebrews, we find those being lured away by those old traditions of man. So the writer offers a scathing rebuke, and at the same time then seeks to exhort them to a new and better way. And that really is the whole crux of the book of Hebrews. He is writing to give to them the understanding of a new and better way, a way that is found in Jesus Christ. There are two simple thoughts that I want to consider tonight as we consider our text and really focus on that thought of going on unto perfection. The first is simply this: there is a context to consider tonight. I want you to look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to note with me how it begins. The writer says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." A word that you and I have to understand is the word therefore. The writer starts this chapter, this section, and in doing so with that word therefore, he is connecting it to a previous thought. In fact, any time that you and I see the word therefore, we have to ask the question, what is it there for, right? So anytime you see that, you recognize it always is a word that's connecting you to that which was previously spoken. And the word always causes us to seek out a context. It necessitates that we understand the previous thought that the writer is now concluding or continuing. And the writer is here exhorting his audience to complete a challenge based upon the previous words of rebuke. But in order for you and I to understand that previous context, it helps us to know something of the greater context that we find within this letter. In fact, there are two greater contexts that I want us to see. There is the greater context of the book of Hebrews, and there is a greater context of the warnings that are given in the book of Hebrews. I want you to see those both with me because they help us to understand the very thought that we find here in this verse. Let us go on unto perfection. The overall letter of Hebrews is written to, here's the easy question of the night, to the Hebrews, right? There's no like province in, you know, Rome that's the Hebrew province. So he's writing this to Jewish believers. He is writing this to those who identify in their old life with Judaism. He's writing to the Hebrews, those who were Jews. They are now facing, because of their faith in Christ, a great persecution. It's the same era in which Peter wrote his first epistle. They are facing great persecution, and there is a great pressure being placed upon them to return to the traditions of their fathers, to neglect and to reject this newfound religion. Just go back to that which is familiar. And the persecution stops. That's really what they are facing at such a time. And so the writer of Hebrews is really throughout this entire letter imploring these believers to consider the truth. And that truth is that Jesus Christ is better than anything that Judaism can offer, to the extent that it is not worth giving up for any reason. That's his encouragement, to endure. I want you to see what he says. You can write these down and look these up on your own. But he tells us that Christ is better than the prophets. God at once spoke through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son. He is better than the angels. And to a Jew, there was something about being visited by the angels. And Jesus is far better than the angels. He's going to go to the fact that he is far better than the greatest leader that brought them out of Egypt, the great emancipator. He is better than Moses. Consider this one. If you want to go after Judaism, you want to go after their religion, he's going to tell them he is better than Aaron and the entire Old Testament priesthood. He's after a priesthood of another kind at the order of Melchizedek. That's a fun one. Maybe someday we'll go through that. And he is better than their entire sacrificial system. And so he is imploring them, don't leave behind that which is better for that which is the shadow of what we now possess. He is encouraging them to endure. It is because of this truth that the writer says in Hebrews chapter 6, 1, that they are to leave behind, to make a complete separation with the ways of Judaism. And we'll explain all that in just a few moments. But really, the second half of verse 1 and verse 2 deal with issues related to Judaism. And he's telling them to leave that behind for Jesus Christ. But there's a second greater context that we have to be aware of so that this overall challenge that we see here gives to us greater understanding. There are some warnings that the writer of Hebrews gives in this book. In fact, five times he is going to pause through this book. And we would call them parenthetical warnings that he is going to give. And they are progressive in nature. And as you see them all together, you understand what he is actually getting at as he is also presenting the truth that Jesus Christ is better than anything that man can offer. And those warnings are given to us in this way. He tells us that there is danger. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he talks about the danger of drifting. Basically, he speaks of those who neglect so great a salvation, who are loose from their moorings, and they're like a boat that simply drifts by every wind and doctrine that comes along, and they're no longer anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to drift from the truth. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, all the way through chapter 4, verse 11, he talks about the dangers of doubting. So he tells us that we are to exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest an evil heart of unbelief come in and trouble you and me. Instead, we are to enter into this glorious rest that God has given to us. We need not doubt the truth. In chapter 5, verse 11, all the way down through chapter 6, we're in the midst of this context here. He's talking about the danger of dullness. He speaks of those who have to still drink the milk, unable to eat the meat. They are spiritually dull. They can't handle the truth for themselves. Someone else has to process it for them. It gets worse from there. In chapter 10, he talks about those who now go to the issues of deliberate sin. They know it's wrong, but because they have drifted, because they have doubted, because they have become dull in their own spiritual perceptions, they now enter in eyes wide open and sin. And then it goes to this extent that there's the point of absolute denial. And folks, if you don't think that's possible, again, I want you to think of what's happened in recent months in the United States of America, where leading pastors say, I'm no longer even a Christian. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, these are the dangers we face when we forget that Jesus Christ is better. It is in the context of that danger of dullness, which is really the height or the climax of what he is getting at and the important part that he needs those believers to understand, because from this point on, it's on the downward slope and things don't go well from here. And we need to arrest our attention and be sure that we're not allowing ourselves to get to that point, because Jesus Christ is better. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 is probably the key verse for the entire study of the book of Hebrews. This challenge to go on unto perfection is one that each one of us needs to understand. When he comes to this point, folks, in chapter 5 in verse 11, he writes and says, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, Why? Because you are dull of hearing. At the time when you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Hey, by the way, what sets apart a child from an adult? What sets them apart? What's that? Discernment. We often say it's age. We say maturity, and too often we relate maturity to age. I agree, it's maturity, and I think that maturity is with discernment, not age. I've known some young people who show greater discernment and maturity than some adults. And everyone gets to adulthood at a different stage of life. I don't care if you're 18. You can look at me and say, I'm an adult, and I'm going to look at them mostly and say, bless your heart. Nice try. I'm 21. I'm an adult. Folks, we have young people in our world today that are in their 30s, still living in their parents' basement and can't figure out life. They're not adults yet. I don't care what the age is. It's the ability to discern good and evil. And that's what the writer is saying. There are some of you who can't still yet think for yourselves through the word of God. You need someone else to teach you to process everything. And folks, when he says that, it is a scathing rebuke on them. And then he comes to them with this challenge that they are to complete. And that's our focus tonight. I want you to look at with me. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And that's the challenge. Two words that really stand out that we have to understand. The first is the word leave, and the second one is wrapped up into this words, let us go on. I want to take a moment and look at both of those briefly with you. Let's talk about this word leave, first of all. The writer says, in light of the scathing rebuke that you cannot handle the meat of the word, you have become dull because you have drifted, you have allowed the doubts to enter in, you are no longer able to discern good from evil, truth from error. Therefore, the need of your heart and the need of mine, if that's the case, is that we leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We'll explain that in a moment. But he says there's a need for us to leave. What's that word mean? Well, folks, this word leave here is a word that means to put off. It means to place aside. And it carries the connotation of a complete and total separation. We might say it this way, to leave it behind. The idea is that I set aside this in order to go on to another. I'm not going to any longer be involved in these things. I'm going to set that aside completely, and I'm going to turn my attention onto that which is something new. And honestly, in the context, that which is better. And he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that same term is used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 when he is writing about whether or not a man ought to put away his wife. And he says that a believer ought not to put her away. That's the same concept. Think about what divorce is. In our culture today, I divorce my wife for something that I feel is better. I have set her aside. I want nothing more to do with her and our life together. I want something new for me. We understand the concept. And Paul applies that, the writer of Hebrews now applies that to the concepts that these Hebrews are facing. He says, there is a need for you to leave something behind in order that your attention might be given fully to Christ. So what are they to leave behind? According to our text, it says the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You say, Pastor, that really doesn't make sense. I'll agree with you. The way it's written for us here doesn't make a lot of sense. In fact, it's unfortunate the way it's actually been translated, because it leads us to think something perhaps that we ought not think. Folks, most commentators and Greek scholars would say that the passage speaks of the word of the beginning of Christ. You say, I don't know that that helps me out anymore, but what are they supposed to leave? The principles of the doctrine of Christ. Again, the word of the beginning of Christ. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? He is speaking about those things that came before Christ. To whom is he writing? You can answer that one again. Hebrews. What is he referring to then? Those things written before Christ. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the old covenant. Those things which they were comfortable with. Those things which they knew. And he says those things now have to be left behind. Your old way of religion, that comfortable old sweater, Judaism. You have to take that off and put it aside, because there is something greater, there is something better, and I need you to come to the point of maturity and understand that. You say, Pastor, how do you know he's really referring to Judaism? Would you look with me again at what he here speaks of in verse 1? After he says, let us go on to perfection, we'll come back and define that. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, on the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Folks, those six things are all key essential truths, not to Christianity, but to Judaism. Especially we see that in words, again, that we need to redefine for us, because they're not properly defined. Look at verse 2. The doctrine of baptisms. That word baptism there is not the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo is the Greek word that speaks to the baptism which we witnessed on Sunday. This is a different form of that word, and when it is used, it speaks of washings. In fact, it is written in the plural. And so what he is speaking of are the ceremonial washings that the Jews were so familiar with. Tell me some of those washings that the Jews used to go through. Tell me something about their traditions. Washing of the feet. As soon as you entered into a person's house, there was a laver there filled with clean water. The first thing that would happen is one of the servants of that house would come before you entered into the home and wash your feet. It was a common courtesy. We have something similar here in New England. We walk through a back door and we kick off our shoes and we walk around in our stocking feet. In Jews, you took off the sandals. They washed your feet. They made them clean. Think about the ritual washings in the Old Testament ceremonial laws. Think about the Day of Atonement and what the high priest had to go through in order to enter in behind the veil. Think about the washings that took place at every sacrifice. The Jews were very familiar with the necessity of washing. Remember one of the charges that the Pharisees brought against Jesus and his disciples? They eat with unwashed hands. How vile! According to their culture and their custom and their traditions, it was. The other word that makes us understand this to be a Jewish concept is that of the laying on of hands. In our Christian culture, we might think of that as what happens when someone's ordained and we lay our hands and we pray on them. That's not what he's referring to. Again, we go back to the law. And when they brought a sin offering to the priest, they would lay their hands on that animal. And every time they did it, they laid on their hands over and over and over again. That's the references that he's making. And here's what he's saying. You have to leave that behind. Why? Because the challenge is we need to go on. By the way, Dr. Schuller English put it this way about this leaving behind. He said that men must forget the shadow because the substance is here. Folks, everything of the Old Testament law was a shadow of what was to come. Every part of those ceremonial washings, every one of those sacrifices, all of the feast days, everything was a shadow of what's to come. And the writer here is saying, the problem is you are now beginning to doubt this religion, this truth of Jesus Christ. You are drifting away. You are becoming dull and unable to discern. And the reason is because you're allowing yourself to meddle in that which you once were involved with. You are allowing yourself to meddle in the innovations of man. Leave that behind. And here's what he says. Now let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection. Let's look at that phrase for a moment. This idea to let's go. The idea of going on is a word that means to be carried or to be borne along. It is a passive tense. And what that means is that the subject is actually being acted upon. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying and what he is urging is that we would allow God to bear us along to the point of perfection. It is not in your strength. It is not in mine. It is in God's. When he gives the challenge that you and I go on to perfection, he is not challenging you and I to do this by our human strength. He is not telling us to do it by our innovations. He is telling us to do it as we allow the Spirit of God to bring us to the place of maturity, to bear us along. It's not gather yourself by the bootstraps and make it happen. It's trust in God that he would bring you now to the place of perfection. And folks, what's that word mean? That term perfection speaks of our maturity. It speaks of one able to eat the meat. One who is able to process his own food. Again, it's not something we can do in our own strength. It is as we allow God to bear us along by his power. But here's something I want you to note with me in this challenge. The challenge is to be done immediately. Here's what I mean by that. The writer of Hebrews is presenting Christ. He is saying he is better. He is talking to them about the very problems that is keeping them from becoming perfect in Christ, maturing in Christ. You are still but babes. And he says, it is time now for perfection. Here's what he's saying. I don't want you to consider it. I expect you to complete it. Not by my power, not by my strength, but as I yield myself to my God. How do I do that? I have to leave behind all of this, and I have to turn unto my God, fully submitting to him, and say, make me more like Christ. And folks, that's our problem. In our world today, we have people that say, I want the deeper things of God. And yet they can't let go of man's innovation. And come and fully submit themselves to Christ. I can't let go of my traditions. I can't let go of my past in order to accept God's instruction from His Word. You know what the writer of Hebrews says to you and me? Enough's enough. We put it in our terms. It's time to grow up. And it's time to do it now. It's the same conversation that every parent who has a 30-year-old living in their basement needs to have. It's time for you to get out. Right? Anyone think it's weird for 30-year-olds to be living in their parents' basements and playing video games? Now, there might be some times where there's a necessity for things. It's different. Because they're actually working and holding down jobs. I'm talking about the ones who spend all day just playing video games and can't figure out life yet because I haven't found myself yet. Well, guess what? Go explore America and find yourself, but get out. Sometimes we as parents have to have those kind of conversations. I have to look at my kids sometimes and say, hey, it's time to grow up. It's time for you to be a man. It's time for you to be a woman. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to step up to the plate. It's time to get it done. That's the challenge. And the writer says, there are so many who are being tossed to and fro, and you're beginning to wonder, should I, shouldn't I? Should I go back? Should I go to Judaism? Should I go to what's comfortable? Should I stay in the innovations? Do I really need to go through all this persecution? And the writer says, hey, it's time to let go. Because it's time to go. It's time to go on to that place of maturity. You are in danger of falling away and denying the Lord. You have been drifting. You have begun to doubt and have become spiritually dull. And in a few more moments, you're going to deliberately choose to sin and deny your God. It's time to grow. There is a challenge to complete. Leave all of that behind and let's go to God and let's go on to perfection. Let's submit to Him. And be changed. It's not something for us to consider and to think about. This is one of those areas where we don't need to pray about this. There are certain things in life you don't need to pray about, folks. Lord, should I witness to my neighbor? Answer's yes. Lord, should I love my wife? The answer's yes. Lord, should I really sacrifice for my kids? Well, the answer's yes. Lord, should I go to church this week? Those aren't things we have to get down and pray about as a family. Okay, let's see if we go tonight. Well, you know, God didn't really give me a peace about going, so I don't have to go. Well, then you're not too connected. And the writer of Hebrews says, that's the problem. You haven't let the things of this world, the ways of man, go. It's time for you to let them go. Once for all, complete and total separation. There's a lot of other things we could put in that category besides an old religion. For some, it might be the final let go of bitterness. For some, it might be to finally let go of those old hurts. For some, it might be to let go of fear. Some, it might be to let go of embarrassment because of past sins. For some, it might be an issue of anger. You can put a lot of things in there. There are many things that keep us and cause us to drift, that cause us to doubt, that cause us to become dull of hearing, that cause us to eventually say, well, I deserve this, and therefore I choose to sin. And eventually we come to the point where now I say, I don't even know that I believe in God. And folks, once you and I take a challenge such as Hebrews 5 and ignore it, That concept of deliberate sin isn't hard to get to. Here's why. I've been sinned against, and I deserve retribution. I deserve happiness. I deserve, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve, and we can't even see that that's a problem. And we choose to sin, and then we get comfortable with that sin, and then we can say from that point, I don't really believe in God anyway. And the catalyst to that is whether or not we accept the challenge of Hebrews 6:1 to leave behind and go on to perfection. Where are you at tonight? Something that needs to be let go? Something that has to be given over to God and you need to fully submit so that you can go on to the areas of perfection? The writer of Hebrews says, it's time. It's time to let go. It's time for us now to go. Let's go. Let it go. That's the challenge of Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, for tonight. We recognize that tonight's challenge in meditation is somewhat of a weighty one. But Lord, we know that's one that all of us need to be able to hear, and all of us better be willing to heed. Because the reality is we have seen within our own culture, within our own nation, those who once stood in many ways as the heroes of the faith, who have now stood up and said, I don't even believe in God. I'm not a Christian anymore. And we say, how can it be? How we thank you, Lord, that your word tells us exactly how it is. And the book of Hebrews lays it out for us. And the challenge is that you and I must be willing to let go those things of the past in order that we might submit ourselves to God and go on to the place of perfection, that we would be being made mature in Christ. Help us, Lord, to heed that which your word says tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.